come here in your love. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. Here in your love, here in your love. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Come like a fly and saturate me now. You're all I want. Come like the wind and sweep throughout this place. You're holy one. Come like a flood and saturate me now. You're all I want. Come like the wind and sweep throughout this place. You're all we want. We won't be satisfied with anything ordinary. We won't be satisfied at all. We won't be satisfied with anything ordinary. We won't be satisfied at all.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. We praise you and magnify your precious name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. While you're standing, I'm going to give the opportunity to go around and greet one another. And tell them you're happy to see him here in the house of the Lord. One of the ushers will be at the back with the offering plate. If you would like to give as you make your way around.
Peace, so cover me.
Cover me when I am going through the storm. Cover me when all seems hopeless. Cover me when my faith is gone. Let the peace that passes all I understand. Cover me, peace of God, cover me through the storm, cover me. Only in you I am safe, only in you I'm secure. Cover me when I'm not strong. Cover me when I am going through the storm. Cover me when all seems hopeless. Cover me when my faith is gone. Let the peace that passes all I understand. Cover me when I am hurting. Cover me when I'm not strong. Cover me when I am going through the storm. Cover me when all seems hopeless. Cover me when my faith is gone. Let the peace that passes all I understand. Cover me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Cover us, Jesus. Cover us, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Cover us, dear Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I need you.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Cover us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, thank you, Lord. I worship your name, God. I praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. I love you, God. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Say a special thank you to Brother Davis and Brother Tom for taking care of the speaking portions of services in our absence. It was good to get away. We got away for a few days, a nice little family getaway, and we recharged. And so we thank all of those that stepped up and made it possible for us to take a few days and go. We're glad to be back. It's I was telling the kids, that's the thing about vacations is they end. And you have to go back to life as normal. I wish I had their normal lives. That would be great. We are glad to be back. And once again, thank you for all those that made it possible for us to go. We did make it back in time for the department heads meeting on Sunday night and a Breeze training. Thank you, Brother Kellum. What a wonderful job you did in training us in Breeze. And we are learning how to use it more and more. And we are going to start putting it out there more and more for you to get on, for you to interact with it. It's becoming more and more user-friendly. And we are seeing ways that it can help us as a church be more organized, get the word out, organize events, notify people of events. We use it sparingly now, but there's a lot more we can do and should do with it. And so we thank Brother Kellum for kind of leading the charge and helping us along and leading us in our crippling way as we try to come up to speed with the technology and that sort of stuff. And then we had a great department heads meeting together. I put some dates on the calendar. You'll start seeing those announcements. Do want to announce this. Starting Sunday night, we are going to start during our Sunday evening session. We're going to start some split sessions. The women will be in a women's session. The men will be in a men's session. And then those children 12 and under will be downstairs for a children's session. So all the females 13 above will be in the women's session. All the males 13 and above will be in the men's session. Women's session will be happening in the main sanctuary. The men's session will be happening upstairs in what is commonly called the youth room. And then the children will be downstairs. And so this is something for anybody and everybody. We encourage others to come and be a part of it. And looking forward to having that kind of camaraderie together with men talking about men issues and women talking about women issues, rather. And so we're just looking forward to that. That's going to kick off this coming Sunday night. If you have opportunity and you want to go and help New Hope Apostolic Church in Yorkville celebrate their 26th anniversary, they're having a special service at 7 p.m. on Friday night, and then a special service also on Saturday. So we encourage you to go, be a part of that, support them and what they're doing, and help them celebrate the 26 years. There is a flyer at the back on the bulletin board with details concerning that. Other announcements are probably scrolling on the screen behind me as I speak. But we're going to take some needs of the Lord in prayer. I ask you to remember Elder Brother and Sister Kellum. I received a message from them. They've been sick Sunday dealing with strep. And so let's pray for them that God would heal them, raise them up, touch them. And so remember Elder Brother and Sister Kellum. Anybody else have a prayer request you'd like to make known to the church? Why don't you slip up your hands? Just holler. That's all you have. All right. Certainly. Thank you. Sister D. Goodness. Certainly. All right. Yes. We have Sister Christie. Goodness. Wow. All right, certainly. Sister Pat, it's your hand. Certainly. That's all another Sister Arlene. Yes, Ron Williams, neighbor of the Grimes, and the health situation there. Certainly. All right. Oh, certainly. Good. All right.
Certainly. All right. Certainly remember those situations in prayer. Why don't you stand? We do believe in the power of prayer. Amen? Let's pray right now. Lord Jesus, we love you. And what an awesome opportunity we have to come before your throne room, God. Time of need, God. Your Bible instructs us, God, that we have access, God, a new and living way that you have consecrated for us, God. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, and we thank you that we have that opportunity, Lord. I pray for these situations, God, whether it be dealing with individual with health problems or terminal illness, Lord, we know that you're able. Ultimately, you are the great physician. You're a healer, God. You're the help, God, that we can depend upon and trust in, Lord. Lord, Andrea, God, and those individuals she's dealing with, God, continue to open doors, God, make conversation possible, God, to introduce you, light into darkness, God, that your will would be done. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, God, we honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, your truth. Lord, we pray for Elder Brother and Sister Kellum, God, let a healing touch be upon them right now. God, send angels to minister to them, to raise them up, to strengthen them, God. We love you, Jesus, we praise you, we thank you that we can come to you, God, with every need, with every care, with every concern of our life, knowing that you desire to work, that you desire to manifest your will, God, to show yourself strong on our behalf, God, that we would be a witness of your wonder-working power in the world around about us. How we love you, Jesus. Use us, God, for your glory, God, to minister to those around about us, God. Thank you, Jesus, to be salt and light in this world, God, spreading your love and your strength, God. How we love you, Jesus. How we praise you. How we honor you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Why don't you applaud the Lord? He's worthy of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are continuing in our study, Faith, Reason, and Truth. Tonight I've entitled the study, Mustard Seeds Do Move Mountains. You say, well, that's what the Bible says, so we believe that. Well, certainly, but there's more to that. There's more to it, and I hope that we can look into some science, we can look into our world, if you will, and kind of be able to understand that this is true. And when Jesus was saying this, and we'll look at the verse here in just a little bit, we often take it in a literal sense, and not that he didn't mean it in a literal sense, but there's more to the story, if you will. There's always, that's the wonderful thing about the Word of God, is that there's always more to it. It's an eternal word. So when you look into things, and I know many of you, like myself, as you study the Word of God, you dig, you just find more and more treasure. You find more and more of the wonderful works of God and how He uses His Word and how we interact with the Word and how it does change our life. It does help us to see things. It does help us to understand things. And even when Paul was addressing the church at Rome, telling them that we can understand the invisible things by the visible things. We can look at creation. We can look at science. We can find that it is compatible with the Bible. It's not combative. It doesn't. It's compatible. We can see and understand. Last week we talked about light and how that light interacts. How it's a part of the world, but it's not of the world. And so we're kind of diving into some of this science. And I know for some it may be kind of boring because you don't like science or whatever. But I do, and so you'll just have to bear through it. But tonight we're not going to get so, you know, Tracheon and Tardion and all that Star Trek-y stuff that we did last week. So hopefully it'll be a little simpler tonight in the sense of scope and understanding. But I do want to talk on the subject, mustard seeds do move mountains. It's a quote. It's in the book. It says, the flap of a butterfly's wing in Brazil can set off a tornado in Texas. The flap of a butterfly's wing in Brazil can set off a tornado in Texas. I mean, you believe that? How many of you aren't going to commit one way or the other right now? How many of you are going to wait till we get more into the study to determine whether or not that is actually possible? Is there a question? I don't know. Good question. But can the flap of a butterfly's wing in Brazil set off a tornado in Texas? Edward Norton Lorenz believes so. Matter of fact, he did a whole study. He presented a paper. This was the title of the paper that he presented. You can do a little study on it. But for right now, let's look into the Bible. And Jesus said unto them, this is Matthew 17:20, because of your unbelief, they were wondering why they could not cast out demons. And they brought Jesus, looked at them and said, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you?" And he says, "Bring the child to me." And he commands the evil spirits to depart. Immediately it happens. And so they come to him and say, "Lord, how come we couldn't do this? Why were we not able?" And Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. But verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you." Now, let's just be honest. That's one of those verses of scripture that we read and we smile. That's nice. Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and it's going to happen. We're laughing because we know. And nothing shall be impossible to you. Come on, it seems like an oversell, right? I mean, let's just be honest. I'm not being sacrilegious. In our human nature, that seems like that's an oversell. If you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you say to the mountain, "Be thou removed." It's going to happen. Nothing shall be impossible. Just a little faith. Just faith is the grain of a mustard seed. So in a way, Jesus is telling them, you don't even have mustard seed size faith. Is he not? Look at it. Look at the context of what Jesus is saying. If you had just a little, if you had faith that was just that big, you could say to the mountain, "Be thou removed. Remove hence the yonder place, and it shall remove. Nothing shall be impossible." Now, I got to think that if I was a disciple at that point, I'd have been like, "Man, I just want to know why we couldn't cast out the demon, and you're telling me that I ain't got faith that's even like the size of a mustard seed. What gives? But you're telling me that if I did, if I had it, if I had faith that was just the size of a mustard seed, then I could say into a mountain, 'Be thou removed,' and we're done." That's kind of interesting. So I don't know about you, but I read that kind of scripture and I think, man, that's a testament to the power of a little faith. And I want to have a little faith. The Bible says to give unto every man a measure of faith. And maybe my measure's not even a mustard seed amount. I want to know about this. What is he really talking about? How can we look at science and maybe understand what is going on here? Well, stay with me. Which do you think best describes our world? Calm or edgy? Okay. How about predictable or unpredictable? Do we have any predictable voters? No? Everybody thinks predictable? All right, let's vote. Let's say predictable, unpredictable. That's too close. If you think our world is predictable, raise your hand. Okay? You think our world is unpredictable, raise your hand. Okay? Stay with me, it's going to get a little harder. Do you think it's static or chaotic? Ooh. Have any voters for static?
Any static voters? Any linear, static in relation to our world? No? How many vote chaotic? Yeah? All right. Random or systematic? Random. How many of you vote random? Raise your hand. How many of you vote systematic? All right, so there's some mix. All right, well, maybe we'll answer some of this. Talk about early science. I always like to introduce what the mode of thinking was prior to what you might say enlightenment or modern science or greater understanding or proofs that came to be, experiments that were made, things that were proven to be done. They were repeated over and over again. They were verifiable. They became objective truths, if you will, according to science. They were able to demonstrate it again and again and again. Now, if, say, 100 years ago, we'd have been a room full of scientists and I would have asked these questions, they would have, without hesitation, affirmed that the universe is linear, that it's static, it's systematic, it's not random. They would say early science held the view that our world was static, a linear universe that was predictable. This is what early science thought. They thought that everything was on a linear line and that everything was, if you could get enough science and you could get enough information involved, then you could predict. You could be able to almost foretell the future because it was systematic. Many believe that equipped with a calculus and the laws of physics, one could predict with almost absolute certainty the effect of the cause. In other words, you would do something, and then the cause of that you could predict. You could say if you had enough information, you could figure it out. If you had enough science, you could apply to it. Theoretically, shoot an arrow into the air, cause, and science could predict its landing. Shoot an arrow, and if you had enough information, the force of the pull and the wind resistance and all, if you could put enough physics and calculus to it, you could predict exactly where that arrow would land. You had further information as to how soft the soil was and at what angle it entered the soil. You could also predict how deep it would go into the ground. Theoretically, this is the way science viewed the universe, that it was measurable, that it was systematic, that it wasn't chaos and it wasn't random. It was identifiable and measurable. If you had enough information, you could apply that information. You could understand the effect. See it. It was there. And believe that tiny effects produce tiny causes. And so one was the result of the other. Tiny effects are the results of tiny causes, and large effects are the results of large causes. You wouldn't get a large, if you will, effect from a tiny cause. Didn't happen that way. Not according to science. That wasn't the way things worked. Because our universe in their mind was linear. Systematic. Predictable. Enough science, enough information. Everything's there. However, I didn't realize this. 1961, as recently as 1961, less than 100 years ago, for those of you that are not good with math, guy by the name of Edward Lorenz made a startling discovery. His weather predicting program, powered by a 740-pound LGP-30 computer with 113 vacuum tubes, began showing drastically different results when only tiny discrepancies were entered. He had this machine. He believed. He believed that he could, if he got enough information, he could predict the weather. But then, all he did was round a few numbers. Just move a few decimal places in the numbers, and the output from this 740-pound machine with 113 vacuum tubes, he began to inspect the machine because he thought something was wrong with the machine. But he began to repeat it over and over and over again. In the days, months, and years that followed, Lorenz verified this again and again. Trivial aberrations in the initial conditions produced wildly different outcomes. Just minor fluctuations, just little tiny discrepancies at the initial condition would on the other end produce wild outcomes. In a linear universe, in a world that was systematic and predictable, that should not be. If you rounded a few numbers, it shouldn't make a drastic outcome. It shouldn't be that a butterfly's wing flapping in Brazil could create a tornado in Texas. But science began to demonstrate that our world was not linear and static, but rather the tiniest disturbance could produce drastic results. You want to know why they never get the weather right? No offense, Brother Kellen. Because the tiniest fluctuation, the tiniest move in temperature, the tiniest move in the speed or direction of wind produces drastically different results. So they're educated guesses at best. Sometimes they hit it. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they say, Floridians beware, it's going to be a bad hurricane season. And none come. And then there's sometimes they say, it's not going to be that bad of a year, and you have three back to back. What are you saying? I'm saying this, that they're coming to understand, and the more they look into this, and it's according to modern science, it's a pretty new view of the universe, but the more they study it, the more they are coming to understand that our world is chaotic. That it's not predictable. That one change in the temperature of the ocean can produce storms that have drastic effects. The cause is just a minute change in the temperature of the water, but what it produces is almost so immense. They begin to look into it and think, wow, this is unreal. Our universe is chaotic. It's random. But at the same time, it's randomly chaotic in a systematic way. A great example is boiling of water. You see it, and as it reaches a certain temperature, the bubbles begin to come up from the bottom, and they flow around the outside of the pan, and then all of a sudden if the heat begins to increase, then the bubbles become, they increase in intensity, and then before long you have what's called a rolling boil. But if you break it down to the molecular, and it seems random, it seems like those bubbles are random, and when it starts to boil, but if you break it down to a molecular structure, it's not random at all. It's chaotic, but it's systematic. It's chaotic, but it follows certain rules. That water boils at a certain temperature. That heat displaced over a certain area at a certain temperature produces a certain size bubble. But if you look at a bowl or a pot of boiling water, you talk about chaotic. But it's systematic as well. But they're finding out, and the more and more they study it, they find out that in our world, just the tiniest move of something creates all of this effect. And they're looking into it, and it's amazing them that they're finding this to be true. Look at this. It was in Farmer's Almanac. It's been revised a little bit. 1758. For the want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For the want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For the want of a horse, the rider was lost. For the want of the rider, the battle was lost. For the want of a battle, the kingdom was lost. And all for the want of a horseshoe nail. Think about that. What if that same arrow that flies through the air that we can predict and we can look at. If we have enough science, we can tell the trajectory and just how far it's going to penetrate the ground based upon air resistance, and the weight of the arrow and the force of the pull and all that stuff. But what we don't understand is that what if that arrow hits a seed and pushes it into the ground? That seed begins to germinate and grow. Before long, produces a tree. Teenagers, they grow up and fall in love and they carve their heart with their initials on that same tree. And then years later, he takes a knee and proposes to the woman in front of that tree. And then they have a child, and that child becomes a great man. And that great man becomes a great leader of a great nation. And that great nation takes over the world. It's just an arrow that flew through the air. The effect, the ripple effect. Science, they term it, it's actually a term, it's the butterfly effect. From the realization that the flap of a butterfly's wing in Brazil can produce a tornado in Texas. This random, unpredictable outcome, this seemingly insignificant start, yet what results? Cause seems so trite and so small, but the effect is so immense, wonderful. So let's bring it to the Bible. Romans 5:12. Do we not see that this is compatible with the Bible? Do we not see that this world that our God created is in fact result, if we look at it, even Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, and that all have sinned. It was just one man. We don't know exactly when, we don't know exactly the timeline, but we do know, according to the Bible, that this man took a bite. Forbidden fruit. And yet there's a ripple effect. You think about it in a logical sense, it seems that just the bite of a piece of forbidden fruit would carry on. Even today, we would be living in the effects. Stay with me. I think you see where I'm going. So let's talk about the effect. How far does the taste of a forbidden fruit reach into the world? How far did that taste, can we say it's still going? Can we say that seemingly, in the grand scheme of things, one man taking a bite of one piece of forbidden fruit and its effect are still lasting today? You want to talk about chaotic. You want to talk about unpredictable. Ripple effect of Adam's transgression is still reaching into today, right now. Who would think a little bite would cause such a big effect? Stay with me. Jesus said, as you have faith as but the grain of a mustard seed. You could say unto the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. Think about what Jesus is saying. Think about what science took till 1961 before science figured out that the world is chaotic. That when you talk about something that seems so insignificant and small and trite, but yet it has and can have an eternal effect. Have you ever seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life? Oh, raise your hand. You all have seen it. The premise is the importance of a life. The premise of the entire movie is the understanding that what would have happened to the world if, what's his name, George? George Bailey wasn't born. What would the ripple effect have been for everybody else? If George Bailey wasn't born. You're starting to see it. It's a Wonderful Life, but you're starting to see it. Flap of a butterfly's wing in Brazil can cause a tornado in Texas. It's the understanding, as science is proving, that this chaotic world, this world that is so unpredictable, this world that when you boil it all down, it doesn't seem to match up. The cause and effect doesn't seem to relate. Tiny causes can produce immense effects. One decision. Here we go. One moment in life. Change everything. If you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. Do you understand what Jesus is saying? He's saying, listen, do you not understand? It's just a little tiny cause, but the power of that thing, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. We're going to start again. Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted him. If tasting of the forbidden fruit can produce a ripple effect that reaches into today, what can happen to someone who just tastes and see that the Lord is good? Do we not understand that right here, every opportunity, every moment matters? When we come into the house of God and somebody is moved and somebody comes to the altar, please understand where I'm going with this. And there may not be all the effect that we want, but do not for one moment trivialize the cause. Don't take it may just be a little seed. It may just be one little minor decision that is made. A tear may not have dropped. They may not have snorted at all. They may have not even said anything audible. But something in the mind, one little switch flips, and some decision is made. Do we not understand that those effects can reach all the way into eternity? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. It's just a little taste. Now stay with me, because we're going to have some fun. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another obscure village where he worked in a carpenter shop. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never went to college. He never visited a big city. He never traveled more than 200 miles from where he was born. He did none of the things usually associated with greatness. He had no credentials but himself. All the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever sailed, all the parliaments that have ever sat, all the kings that have ever reigned put together have not affected the life of mankind on earth as powerfully as that one solitary life. Seemingly, in the grand scheme, many people of his day thought him insignificant. Look. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one. Look at the next two words, because they're changing my understanding of some things. Because we see the greatness of sin, and we think, oh, because of Adam and his transgression, oh, look at the world in which we live in. And I understand, I'm not demeaning evil, but we need to understand the other side of that coin. And the next two words say, much more. Huh. I'm not making light of Adam's transgression. I'm not making light of what happened when sin entered in the world. What I'm trying to do is make heavy what Jesus did. What I'm trying to do is make us understand much more. They which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. But I refuse to validate what Adam did in the Garden of Eden more than I'll validate what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm sorry, but I will not give more credibility and I will not give more power to sin and transgression than I will give to the one who overcame, the one who overcame the world. Much more. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Do we not understand? Was lost in the Garden of Eden was gained back. Do we see and understand the ripple effect? Oh yeah, we see the effect of sin. And oh yeah, we want to give credibility to Adam, if you will, and his transgression and how it's affected our world. Wait a second. There's someone whose significance is reigning. There is one, Jesus Christ. Look at this. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Why in the world would we give sin and evil and the enemy of our soul more credibility than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. That Adam, man, he messed it up. That Adam. How many times? And just stay with me in this mode of thought for a minute. You might think I'm crazy, but just stay with me. Probably think that a lot in here. We don't know how long Adam and Eve lived in immortality. The Bible doesn't say. We don't know how many times he looked at the tree and went on. We don't know for how many years, centuries, many millennia. We don't know. We don't know how many times he looked at the tree. No. Gone. Focus upon is the time where he came, took the fruit. I've given you this illustration before, and it's one of probably the highlights of youth ministry. It's a girl who's coming to youth, and she was rough. And we were taking prayer requests. That's always a scary time. But she raised her hand. She said, "I need you to pray for me." She said, "I don't know if it was that day or a day prior." She said, "Somebody really made me mad." And she said, "It's been a long time." She said, "But I let out a bunch of profanity. I let them have it. I haven't cussed in a long time, in a while. She had been coming to youth for a while." She said, "But I did this time." I thought for a minute. I said, "Well, let's do this. I said, let's thank God for all the days you didn't. Let's not focus on the time you failed. Let's focus on all the times you succeeded." Yeah, we want to, and please understand, I realize that the ripple effect of Adam's transgression, we're still feeling the effects today. We don't know how many times he walked past that tree and didn't eat. We don't know how many times he resisted the urge. We do focus upon is the time he took it. Stay with me. Gotta be careful. Gotta be careful when we have individuals who are human and make mistakes. And I'm just gonna put on my pastor hat for a few moments. They mess up and we want to point out their faults and their failures. Why don't you point out all the times they didn't fall? Why don't you point out all the times they didn't fall prey to the temptation? Why don't you encourage them about the days that they didn't commit the sin or the act? Wait, what are you saying? This is what I'm saying. What is the effect of words that condemn? And please understand where I'm going with this. What is the effect if we take someone who in their humanity have messed up? And I'm not making allowances for sin. But what I'm saying is, do we understand the eternal effects? When we give power to the thing, when we give power to the mistake or the mess up, when we give power to the evil that was committed or the flesh that seemed to come through at that moment, and we focus upon that, why do we do that? Instead of saying, hey, I'm human and I make mistakes too. But guess what? There's something better tomorrow. Now you can make a good decision that will have a ripple effect. Now you can make a decision from this point on. And now, do we not understand the ripple effect that happens when we are working with someone and ministering with someone, and instead of trying to condemn them or whatever the motive is, we want to make ourselves feel better, or we want to, whatever it is, but can we not see the ripple effect and the eternal effect we could have on someone's life? Be it good or be it bad. See, I've realized this, and it's helped me grasp the reality of my humanity. Because I realize that as a man in relation to people and ministry, I hope that the words that I have said have helped and had eternal effects unto good more than when I've operated in my own humanity and in my own flesh, and when I've spoken words that weren't filtered through the Holy Ghost and said in love. Because I undoubtedly have, and so have you. I need to recognize, according to the Word of God, that every moment matters. Every idle word, the Bible says. Why? Because Jesus is making us understand this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. You have faith as the grain of mustard seed, but it can move mountains. That little word or that little thing that I'm saying, what's the end result of that? I'm going to set them straight. What's the end result of that? What is it? I'm trying to make us understand that look at what we do and what we say and how we act and what it has eternal effect. I was going to get quiet and somber. Our effect. Because we inhabit a world where mustard seeds can move mountains, no one and nothing should be considered insignificant. Everybody matters. Every word that I say has significance. Every action that I manifest has significance. There's a ripple effect which reaches all the way to eternity. Our words matter. Our actions matter. What we do in the dash reaches all the way into eternity. The fact that I am here today in this place saying these words is not just the result of my own choices. Catch this. Understand, I'm connected to my dad, who made choices for himself and his family. He is connected to his dad and his mom, who they made choices for their family. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. Do we not understand that what Adam did reaches unto all of us? And yes, what Jesus did reaches unto all of us? And what I do, here's the mind-blowing moment. What I do reaches everyone else. The ripples go all the way to the edge of the pond. Everybody is affected. People I have never known, interacted with, socialized with, met, don't know anything about them. My words and my actions can have a ripple effect that reaches all the way to them. Folks, we might still be holding candles had not Thomas Edison been born. What are you saying? Do we not understand? And this is what I'm trying to drive home in this tonight. What I do, what I say is significant. It reaches. It's somehow connected. Talk about, well, 3 degrees of separation, you're 5 degrees of separation from a famous person somewhere. You're connected. You know somebody who has an uncle, who has an aunt, who knows somebody who's connected to that somebody, and you're only 5 degrees of separation from a famous person. Good to you. When I think about it, I'm connected to everybody. I know. Yes. In God's creative mindset, in God's creative world, in the way God made it, it's so that we could understand that mustard seeds do move mountains. That what I say and what I do can have an eternal effect. Little life that is but a vapor is eternally vast. Think about that for a moment. This little life, little old me, born May 31st, 1977, this little old me, I'm significant. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. What I do in what I say. But here's the thing. I'm not placing importance on me any more than importance upon you. It's the same for each and every one of us. In this unpredictable, illogical, exhilarating, and chaotic world of ours, everyone matters. Everyone matters. They're connected. It somehow affects you, and it somehow affects me, and I somehow affect you, and you somehow affect me. We all matter. Nobody's insignificant. And it doesn't matter how seemingly insignificant someone seems. If they understand mustard seeds do move mountains, they can understand I matter. What I do and how I live. Matters what I do and how I live, because I've got others coming up behind me that I'm attached to, and it's going to make a difference. I parent a lot of the ways that I was parented. Think about it. Things are passed down, certain understandings. There's a connection that goes back. I'm not saying you go back and start searching out your genealogy. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is understand where you are today is a result of people who came a long time before you. And who's going to be, if the Lord tarries, who's going to be left when you're gone? they're going to have an effect. It's going to reach. It's going to touch their lives. So that makes it so important what I do. It makes it so significant. Because this mustard seed can move a mountain. This little old life, this dash that I'm living in, this life that is but a vapor is eternally vast. It has far-reaching effects. Why? Why would God create a world like this? Why would there be? Why would science be able to validate and be able to show, observe that this universe is chaotic and it's random? This little thing can make a big difference over. This mustard seed can move a mountain. This seemingly innocuous decision that is made can either become mundane or it can become miraculous. That's the beauty of a moment. That 1 second can have an eternal effect. This that we do in time can have an effect for all.
I'm going to have to go back to the Star Trek stuff, I guess. So why would he create a world like that? So that no one would ever have to feel insignificant.
None of us would ever feel trapped by seemingly insurmountable circumstances.
If I can believe that a mustard seed can move a mountain,
there's no such thing as seemingly insurmountable circumstances. So that none of us would ever be without hope for a better future. Wow. Because a decision made today can affect tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day.
So ultimately, we could be Christ-like in our world. In closing, you can stand. So ultimately, I could see that I am significant. What I do, how I live, what I say matters. Not only to me, to others. Not only does it affect my life and those that I'm closely associated to, it affects my life and those that I'm not closely associated to. It affects everyone. Just a little bit of mustard seed faith can move an entire mountain. Small, seemingly insignificant, can have immense effects. Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for revelation and understanding that comes as I search, as I study, to see the significance in this life that we lead. To understand that what I do, how I act, the priorities that I set, God, the things that I show, my behavior, my conversation, my lifestyle, Lord, they have a ripple effect that reaches all the way into eternity. It will affect my children, my children's children. It will affect other people that I don't even know, God. Lord, I pray, God, that I'm more like you and that I don't seek fame. I don't seek things, God. I don't seek notoriety. Lord, I only seek to make a difference, an eternal difference for good. To be like you, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. For all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go in Jesus' name.